do it, dump it, delegate, or decide when. So as a piece of paper comes across your desk, you go, here's a piece of paper. And I always say you need to lead your life. You need to be the leader and choose one of four things. Either that piece of paper has an action to it you can do within 2 minutes, therefore do it. If it's spam or if it's junk mail, pop it in the bin and delete it. If it's not yours but someone else in the team, delegate it and delegate it nicely. And the fourth one is if you can't do the action within 2 minutes, then put it into a system that will flag for you at a later time or date and you can action it then.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service and to modern marketing, and you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Glenn Fisher of All Good Copy and Twyla Kay, business and relationship coach. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Les Watson, founder of Get More Time and author of Get Back an Hour in Every Day, The A to Z of Being More Productive. Les has worked extensively throughout Australia and Southeast Asia, running dynamic training programs that have produced measurable results for large corporations, for small businesses, and for individuals. And he's developed a depth of knowledge and skill from over 30 years' experience as a trainer, speaker, and facilitator in self-management, in motivation, and in communication techniques. Les has recently turned his passion and expertise in time management into the focus of his business. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP for very important person. Go check it out. It's free to join. And if you're a member already, just log in to get your resources. In our discussion today, Les talked to me about getting clear about your purpose and your why to enable you to focus on the things that matter. He gave us many tips and ideas to take control of our email inbox and all the paper clutter on our desk. And he talked to me about triggers, in particular around cleaning up one's garage. And I can tell you that my list there would be so much longer than Les's three. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Les Watson. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from right here in Geelong, Australia, Les Watson, who's the founder of Get More Time. And he's also the author of the book, Get Back an Hour in Every Day, The A to Z of Being More Productive. Welcome to the podcast, Les. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Hi, Jürgen. It's great to be here. Thanks very much.
Now, Les, you've got over 30 years' experience as a trainer, a speaker, and a facilitator in self-management. You've also done motivational training and communication training, and I know along the way you've developed a passion and expertise around time management. So I'm really looking forward to tapping into your expertise today in a whole lot of areas. But before we start talking about all things time and time management, tell us a little bit about your background. Give us a high-level snapshot of how you got to where you are today and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey.
So the coming out of Tasmania, yes, I'm a Tasmanian. Please don't hold that against me. Some great people have come out of Tasmania. I ended up in Sydney and was in health and fitness. Friends of mine did a personal development course and I was introduced to time management, and one of the gurus of time management being David Allen, who wrote the other book on time management called Getting Things Done. Yeah, the other book, yes. I knew that tickled your fancy. And with David, that particular seminar changed my life. I got organized. I ended up with a system that I could use. I ended up kicking some goals, and it went from there. I started my own training company in Sydney, where I was able to work in corporate, in sales, customer service, team building, communication, and productivity. So it became a part of my life from there. People who knew me really contacted me and said, how do I be more productive? How can I do this? And that's where it started, back in 1985, back in Sydney.
That's fascinating. I mean, I discovered David Allen's book very early on, but of course he wasn't, like, he repackaged some older time management things, and I was always fascinated by how people had these systems. What I'd like to explore with you today, because I know you've got a book that kind of goes through the A to Z, and it is actually literally starts at A and works its way through Z with some very practical tips and advice that people can implement to change things in what they're doing, perhaps. But I'm interested in exploring a little bit more around the beliefs and attitudes that people have to productivity and time management. So give us your understanding of what productivity actually means.
Well, for me, productivity is getting things done. It's really, really the simplicity of how can you get things done? How can you be productive? And those things need to be the things that matter. And if you wanted to take a high level to that view, it would be, what's your purpose? Wow, he went deep really quick. Now, what's your purpose? Why are you on the planet? Why are you on the planet? So if you take that level, then it trickles down to, okay, if that's your purpose, where do you see yourself? If you were to do the whole thing of, at the end of your life, what would people say about you? Or in a business sense, what's the 10-year, 20-year, 30-year goal for your business? Then that, from a purpose to a vision, and then you go, okay, if that's the long-term vision, how do you break that down into 5 years? What's a 5-year goal? From there into 1 to 3 year goals, and then break that down again into projects. What are the projects that you can focus on? In those projects, there are areas of responsibility, and out of those areas of responsibility, you've got actions. So that's a real snapshot of one of the things that David Allen talks about, is that that levels and the being on a day-to-day basis of the actions you need to go all the way through to looking at your purpose. And it settles things where you go, why am I doing this action? Is it aligning with my areas of my projects that I have on, my areas of responsibility, and therefore my goals? So everyone wants to be productive in some way, shape, or form, even if it's just, I need to get the groceries done today. And on a corporate sense, it's like, what are the goals that we have corporately, and are we doing the actions required to get closer to that end goal?
Yeah, well, I love that you went deep pretty early on, because I was actually going to lead you there in terms of the whole idea of values-based time management, because I think you said this in one of your recent blog posts, or it might have actually been in the book, that there's no such thing as time management. There's only self-management, and it really boils down to what is important and where are you going to spend your time, because we've all got the same amount of time, right?
We do have the exact amount of time that Da Vinci had and Mother Teresa had. So it comes down to, what are you doing with that time? And when you mention values, are you valuing your time in the areas that are going to make a difference? So let's just take one step back. A lot of people need to identify what their productivity killers are, what gets in the road of your productivity. And it could be such things as you've got too much on your plate, so it's self-overload. Or it could be you procrastinate. Or people interrupt you at work constantly. Or maybe you have an issue around clutter and paperwork where your desk is a complete mess. Another one would be unproductive communication, where you get sidetracked into communication or social media in that regard that takes you away from the task at hand. Maybe it's indecision, you just can't make a decision. Maybe it's overwhelm, you're feeling completely overwhelmed with the task at hand, or it could simply be distractions. So once you identify those productivity killers, it gives you, as I would say, clarity equals power. So from the clarity of your productivity killers, you can then do something with it. The problem with those productivity killers, they actually have an impact on a business and on a person's life. Like, for example, in a corporate sense, it would be increased sick leave or missed appointments or missed deadlines or broken promises to clients. Jobs get rushed, projects get stalled, relationships get affected.
Yeah.
There's a lack of trust from customers, those sorts of things. So those productivity killers have an impact on a business. And that's the kind of, well, does that really relate to time? Yes, it does.
Yeah, and there's a paradox there, isn't there? And I'll share a story with you in a moment. There's a paradox there in terms of we've got all this modern technology at our fingertips today, and yet that is taking away some of the relationship stuff and adding a level of distraction that impacts on business relationships, as you said. Yeah, the story I had, I've sort of written it down here because I think it really fits well. In the very early days of the mobile phone, when I was in the corporate world, you'll remember the BlackBerry.
Oh, yes.
So all of our mobile salespeople and people that were kind of on the road most of the time were given a BlackBerry, and it was all set up to hook into the corporate systems and the corporate email. And I didn't get one. And being a technophobe, I was not a technophobe, a technophile, lover of technology, I was kind of a little bit miffed. I thought, well, why travel a lot? Yep. I should have one of these things because it'd be a nice
toy. Where's mine?
Yeah.
Yes.
But then I heard all the other folks saying, this thing's a real nuisance. You know, I'm at a barbecue with the family on Sundays and the email goes off and it beeps at me and then I have to answer the email. And I remember saying, and these are all intelligent people. I couldn't work it out. I thought, you can turn off the notifications, can't you? You can turn off the email. Why is it a problem? And, you know, everybody would say, this BlackBerry thing is awful. And I thought, well, actually, I'd love to have one because I'd just turn off the email when I don't want to have email. So, talk to us a little bit about distractions, because I think that's something that, you know, until then I thought everybody knew that, you know, you can deal with distractions and technology actually lets you be more selective about the distractions that you let through into your actual time. And yet most people don't seem to realize that.
Yeah, and there's a interesting, this particular, as we're recording this, there's a summit, a Pivot Summit's about to come up, and the topic of Pivot Summit is tech versus humanity. And that's your point exactly, where the technology took over and the human went, well, I don't have any control. And I was speaking with one of business leaders in Geelong today, and he said, you're either out of control or you're in control. And often with time, we feel like we're out of control. So the opportunity for the individual is to take back their control and use the tech for the way it's supposed to be used. So I will always say to people, what is your trusted system? What's the system that you use? And it doesn't matter if it's paper-based or if it's app-based. And before apps, there was paper. And I grew up in my journey on a planner that I got from David Allen, a six-ring binder. It was a productivity planner, and it changed my life to the point where I knew exactly where everything was, and you had all the details, the meetings I was in, and they were all in. And people would say, don't you fear that you would lose your planner? And I said, well, in the 30 years that I had a planner, I didn't lose it once. And if you get so paranoid with that, take a half a $100 bill and put it in the front and say, if you find this and I've lost it, bring it back, I'll give you the other half.
Hmm.
And that's the sort of thing where as an opportunity for an individual to move along with their own productivity, grab something that will work for you that you trust. And the apps that are available today, I'm not sure the ones that you're using, but there's a multitude of them. For example, and I'll just give you two. There's Remember the Milk. And I use Remember the Milk with my wife and from a personal perspective, because she can put stuff in. I've shared a page with her and she can put stuff in while I'm out, so that as I'm coming back into the home, I can drop into the local supermarket, pull up Remember the Milk and pick up all of those things she wants me to pick up. As a productivity app, that's a whole lot better than coming home and going, can you go back out again, please?
Mm.
Can you go and pick these things up? I've just saved a whole lot of time.
Yeah, and the beauty of those things, and we're talking about modern technology, is that with Remember the Milk or apps like that, you if you've got your mobile phone with you, your smartphone, then you'll have that app there and you can bring up the shopping list when you're out in the supermarket, or you can bring up a discussion. So if we bump into one another on the street, I can bring up a discussion list. What did I want to talk to Les about next time I saw him, and those sort of things. So that's the power of those apps.
Yeah, and that was one. And the other one that is used for people is Trello. And I absolutely love Trello. It's a card-like arrangement, and you can move the cards from one column to another, and you choose what columns they are. So, again, it can be a shared notebook in that regard, and you can put stuff onto a card and other people in the team can see what you're working on. So I always use the example of Trello or OneNote in a corporate sense, and bring it back to my own life. And that is, my wife wrote a really good book. It's called Antonio's Seed, and it won the New South Wales Writers Centre Best Fiction 1 year, and it got shortlisted for the Victorian Premier's Literary Award. Now, recently, that was requested to be made into a film. They rang me and said, Les, it's time to make it into a film. And if you look at the difference between a paper-based system and an app-based system, that definitely tends towards the app-based, because if you're looking at scripting, and if you're looking at casting, and you're looking at locations, and you're looking at a multitude of people, you can't do that on paper and have that be efficient. You've got to put it in the cloud so that anyone can tap into that particular notebook and go, yep, I know exactly where you are. I'm going to add my comments to that. I've got actions that come out of it. So OneNote is another example of something in the cloud that's able to make people and corporations productive.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a really good point there in terms of using the cloud, because essentially with access to the internet, or even a lot of these cloud apps actually have offline access to much of the information, but you've got that information with you no matter where you are, which I think is a massive time saver compared to the paper systems that we used to have in the olden days. I mean, I used to have some really good paper systems, and yet I'd still spend hours, if I added it up over the week, trying to find stuff. If I wanted to, you know, work on a project, or where was that letter from the publisher that wants to set that book to the film? You know, what exactly do they want me to do? What are the next steps, and so on? So that's definitely the benefit. And the other benefit, of course, is you mentioned Trello, which is a kind of more of a project management app. So it's something you can work together with other people that are involved in getting a project finished.
Yeah. Yep. And when I work with, so I do public seminars as well as corporate, and I'll talk to people about how do you handle your email? And we may talk about that a little bit later, but also how do you handle your paper that comes across your desk? And from the age old, this came out of priority management, the 4 Ds: do it, dump it, delegate, and decide when. I'll say it again, and I'll slow down. Do it, dump it, delegate, or decide when. So as a piece of paper comes across your desk, you go, here's a piece of paper. And I always say, you need to lead your life. You need to be the leader and choose one of four things. Either that piece of paper has an action to it you can do within 2 minutes, therefore do it. If it's spam or if it's junk mail, pop it in the bin and delete it. If it's not yours but someone else in the team, delegate it and delegate it nicely. And the fourth one is if you can't do the action within 2 minutes, then put it into a system that will flag for you at a later time or date and you can action it then. Therefore, what's the system you use? And in the olden days with paper, and I do say olden days called with the apps, you can always flag it in an app. But for paper itself, where does the piece of paper belong? And Merlin Mann and David give you the system of 43 folders or the tickler file where you've got 1 to 31 for the days of the month and January to December. So 1 to 31 is 31, January to December is 12, 12 and 31, 43, there's your 43 folders. And then it's a great way of going, I don't need that one, Jürgen, until the 14th of next month, and I just pop it in that folder. When I get to that date, I pull all those pieces of paper out of that folder, pop it on my desk, and I know exactly what it is I've got to do based on the pieces of paper that were in that folder.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember the good old tickler file. When I first started working in the corporate world, I had a boss, and I can't remember what the context was, but basically he would tell his secretary, he'd write on the notes that came across his desk and his secretary would do all the file, and some of the notes then were circulated to the team for reading. And I kept wondering, what's this tickler thing that it says up here? You know, tickler had a date on it. So, I didn't want to ask the boss because I didn't want to appear stupid. So I went and asked the secretary and she explained it to me and I said, that's brilliant. I started doing it.
Yeah. It is old-fashioned, but it really works. That if paper is something that comes across your desk and you're swamped in paper, it's a great way of being able to handle the paper and have it off your desk, out of sight, but reminded at a particular day in the year.
Yeah. And I still do it on email. I mean, you talked about email management and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I've got a plug-in to Gmail that basically lets me click on a clock and I see something that I say, that I don't need to do that now, that's in 2 weeks' time, and I'll just click the clock, mark it 2 weeks' time, and it'll come back into my inbox in 2 weeks when I need it. And the beauty of those things is that you keep your mind free of all this clutter until the point where you're actually going to do something with it. So tell us about your strategies then around email a little bit, because I think that's probably one of the biggest time sinks for most business owners in particular.
It is, but I want to just divert ever so quickly and talk about that clutter. So you talk about the mind clutter. One of the things that I do with people is get them to look at how much is in their head. And what David would say is the incompletions or the open loops, that stuff that you've had an idea of and not started, ideas that you've started and not continued, something you may have continued and not finished, or finished and not acknowledged. And if you have that cycle and it's broken in any place, it creates an incompletion. And those incompletions are the things that give you those sorts of things like impatience, guilt, resentment, you avoid the task, confusion, and ultimately stress. So the first thing I ask people to do is take it out of their head and get it onto paper, and I take them through a series of what I call trigger words that would trigger those incompletions. They go, oh yeah, that one. And I'll give you an example. If I said garage, I've got three incompletions in my garage just on one word. One is I bought two shelves and only built one, so I would write build the second shelf. I've got some audio gear in there that I need to pack away, so pack away the audio gear. And the third one would be I've got some cardboard boxes I need to unpack and put into plastic tubs. So one word and three actions that come out of it. But I take you through not only the professional list of trigger words, but also the personal list. And once I've done that, it takes about 15, 20 minutes if we do it nicely. The end result is, I say, how do you feel? And most people say, I'm overwhelmed, because I had no idea I had that amount of incompletions in my head. And I go, well, all I did was drain the swamp, and they were left there, took them out of your head on the paper, and that's what you've got. And I don't leave them there. It's like, it's like, oh, welcome to the party. Now get on with it. No, what do you then do with that? And I take them through a process. So that's something that I really recommend people do. Get it out of your head, onto paper, out of your head, onto paper, out of your head, onto paper, and come up with some form of list of stuff that is incomplete. What you do with that is another part to the journey. However, I digress. We're talking about email. Again, email is very similar to paper, in which you have the ability to do those four Ds: do it, dump it, delegate, decide when. It's a leadership issue. The email comes in, choose. What am I going to do with it? Do it or dump it or delegate it or decide when. And if you aren't going to do it now, if you're going to do it later, put it into a system. It can be as simple as a flag or a reminder that reminds you to do it at a certain time. For example, I'm going to do that one at 4:45 this afternoon, and I'll put a reminder so that as I'm at my computer, it will come up and say, here's the task that you got to do it. It's now 4:45. And I go, oh, thank you very much, assistant. But I was the one that put it in there for the flag. So the end result is it reminds me that I need to do it, as opposed to, oh, that's a good thing I need to do later and not have a reminder, and therefore I forget it. So the four Ds: do, dump, delegate, and decide when. I'll give an example or a story of a gentleman I worked with, and he said, I've got an issue with my email. And I said, well, show me. So I went to his desk, and he had 6,000 emails in his inbox. It wasn't the worst that I've come across. The gentleman showed me a screenshot of his. He had 110,000 in his. He will remain nameless, but I have had one at 110,000. Let's just settle for the 6,000. With the 6,000, I said, how many of those are relevant right here, right now? He said, oh, about 20. I said, great. What I need you to do is create a separate folder in Outlook in that regard and call it whatever you like. Call it Demilitarized Zone. Call it 2019. Call it whatever you want. And I need you to grab everything in your inbox apart from the 20 and transfer them, drag them, and put them in the other folder, and then go to lunch. He said, why do I go to lunch? I said, because you ain't going to get any work done while they transfer across. And he went, oh, good point. So he did that the next day, and he was left with, when he came back from lunch, there were 20 emails, current emails, sitting there ready for him to action. David Allen says, your inbox is a great place to work from, not a good place to store. And what it eventually did was give him the opportunity to go, I could do 20 emails. And by the end of the day, he came to this thing called Inbox Zero. Hmm. And Inbox Zero absolutely transformed his world, because when he got into work the next day, there were 7 emails ready and waiting for him when he got in at 9 o'clock. And he said, I can handle 7 emails. And I saw him recently, and I said, how's your system? And this is a couple of years later. He said, I never looked back. It absolutely transformed his productivity, because what was there was what needed to be actioned, and he was able to do it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you've got this massive inbox and massive list, you get into overwhelm, don't you? And things get lost in there, the important things
get
left in there. So you're very kind, because I once had a situation where I talked to somebody about the four Ds and email and dealing with email in that manner. And I said, probably 90% of the stuff you've got in there, you can just delete. And he said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So I knew I'd backed up his system. So when we're sitting together, I said, here's what I'm going to do. And I went in there and I deleted about 10,000 emails out of his inbox. Everything except today's emails. And the look on his face. And I said, don't worry, if it's important, they'll get in touch again. And then he worked through today's emails. And like you say, it was a very similar story. All of a sudden, the inbox was empty, and then he stayed on top of it.
Yeah, the clarity and the freedom that comes from Inbox Zero is a huge thing in a lot of people's lives. Given the opportunity to hit it, we all start out that way. We're given an email address and we get that first email that says welcome, but then it piles and piles and piles. So the opportunity is to action them. And if it's going to be something you're going to need later, stick it in 2018 or 2019, because the opportunity for the individual to search for an email in that folder is really, really good, because the search function is huge. It works a treat. As opposed to, well, I'll put that in the Jones folder, I'll put the next one in the Hollingsworth folder, I'll put the next one in the Smith folder. Well, sometimes that works, and I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying that if it was in one, you just need to go to one folder to do the search, as opposed to, oh, I really don't know what folder I filed it in.
When I was using Outlook, the search function in Outlook, when I was using it, this is quite some time ago, was not real good. And so I built this system of folders that was quite big and complex. And at some point I realized this is ridiculous, because I'd read an email, it was information. I decided I want to keep that because it's something I'll refer back to at some point. And so then I spent a minute, 2 minutes working out where to file it. And then I'd file it there. And then sometime later when I wanted to access that email again, I couldn't find it. So I spent ages searching for it. And this didn't happen for one email. This happened for, you know, hundreds of emails. And at some point I thought, this is ridiculous. So I abandoned the whole system and just went to one folder. Basically, there's an archive. But talk to us a little bit about, because there's a lot of technology available that is really neat, that allows you to set up rules around email coming to the inbox. So, you know, if you've subscribed to a newsletter from some service that you've purchased, that can go into a reading folder, and then you can decide, you know, my reading time is 4 PM when I'm feeling a bit tired. So I'll have a look at the reading folder then, but it doesn't need to come into my inbox.
Perfect. Absolutely. You've hit on two things. One is there are things in business that we need to read, so create a reading folder. And the second one is actually create a time that you say, just like I'm having a meeting with Joe Bloggs, I'm having a meeting with myself to read the important documents that I've put in the reading folder. And those rules are simple to set up, and people go, well, I don't know how. Well, give it a fly, because it if you make a mistake, it's just a matter of redo it. And I think I've done one where I had three times, and at the third time it worked, but that's in the space of 5 minutes, rather than I've lost emails or it's still coming in. It's a matter of set it up, set the rule up, see if it works, and if it works, you've got all of those rules that will divert your email, rather than coming into your inbox, away from your eyes and in the particular folder that you've set up. It could be reading, it could be committee notes, it could be meeting notes, like meeting minutes, those sorts of things where you have the information and it's out of your eyesight. The thing about email is are you the person that's receiving it, or are you being CC'd in as well? And then if you're CC'd, have a CC folder so that you can immediately go, that's just a CC, I'll look at it later. So look at the CCs a bit later. It's only for your information down the track if necessary. It's not for you to action. The other one that people use in email is actually put the action in the title. So for action, or for your information, or let's discuss, or please ring me. And therefore, you don't need to get through the whole email to work out what it is. Oh, that's an action. That'll go to the top. So you can sort based on action, based on the rule that you've set up, or based on the subject matter. And if it's a workplace that has that as a rule and a culture, you can actually say, what are the actions that I need to do best in the email? And they're in the header, and there they are at the top. So you do those first.
That's actually a great suggestion. And I instigated a system like that for my team, which was based in about 10 different countries around the globe when I was still in the corporate world. And so we were firing emails back and forth all the time. And I said, this is ridiculous. There's all this email coming in, and 80% of it was CC, as you said, because people wanted to make sure they were keeping everyone informed. Sometimes it was a bit political. And I said, okay, let's have, and we developed this system that basically had the action in there, which really simplified things. Now, of course, these days I don't use email for my team. That's all on live chat systems. So my philosophy now is if I can get out of the email as much as possible, that's a win.
And it is an option. It is an option. Yeah. It's a great option because people go, but what about the paper trail? It's like, well, hold on a tick. There are communications you don't need a paper trail, and why are you covering your backside with a paper trail? Right.
And if there's a legal requirement, then email's probably still not good enough.
Very good.
It needs to be a hard copy. Yeah. All right. Well, talking about distractions and online stuff, talk to us a little bit about social media, because that's another one where, as a marketer, of course, social media is a very powerful tool that we use and we get on there. But at the same time, and I know I'm on a bit of a Facebook diet at the moment because there's just too much noise there and it's just too much of a time sink with no value add. So how do you find that balance? What are some of your suggestions there?
I will harp on this until the cows come home, that, and you've heard me say it in this interview, and that is you need to be the leader. You need to be the leader of your life. If television is a time suck, turn it off. If social media is a time suck, don't go there. So don't open it up. And as you say, you are taking a break from social media. And sometimes you need to go, I'm not going to Twitter. I'm not going there. I'm not going to Facebook. I'm not going to Instagram. And as far as YouTube is concerned, forget it. Oh, Reddit? Nah, not going anywhere. So whatever that is for you that takes you down that rabbit warren, so no, I'm just going to do 5 minutes, and 45 minutes later you go, where did that time go?
Mm.
That's the awareness. So I have a model. It's called ALTA, A-L-T-A. So first one is awareness. Become aware of your own productivity killers, and social media is one of them. Now, let me just give you the rest of them. So awareness, leadership, tools, and action. So social media, if social media is one of those things that takes the time away, first one is become aware of it. Maybe you need to do a time log to map out where your time goes in the day. I was 15 minutes here and 15 minutes there and half an hour here, and emails and meetings and social media and eating and looking after myself. So at the end of the week, you have a full map of where your time goes, and you can actually add them up. I've spent X amount of time on social media. Was that productive? If your job is social media, then yes, it'll be productive. But for the rest of us, we don't need to be there. It's not a have to. So if it's not a have to, then from a leadership perspective, look at it as any other meeting that you can schedule and say, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes to do social media there from 4:45 to 5 o'clock. That's my social media. Or I'll do it three times a day. I'll do it at the first, I'll do it at lunchtime, and I'll do it at the end. But give yourself some limits. And one of the great ones is set yourself an alarm. Give yourself 15 minutes and on your phone just go, there's my 15 minutes, start. And as it goes off, close it down. Because as you say, what's the end result? What's the outcome that comes from keeping in touch with them? It's lovely. It gives you a good feeling that your friend's just had a baby and everyone's having a birthday and someone's having a nice barramundi lunch on Sydney Harbour. That's all well and good, but does it add to your areas of responsibility and the actions you need to take today?
Yeah, that's great advice. The awareness and leadership, and then taking control
So tools and then action. So leadership, and then what tools can, like the clock or the timer in that regard was the tool that enabled me to then take the action and do something about it. So I'm able to put the clock on and then the action of doing it. Another one would be, another action would be, well, if I've got all these things I need to do, what action am I going to take on them rather than just planning them? And there are people that there's a thing called paralysis by analysis. You can plan until the cows come home, but it won't get you the result. What gets you the result is action. And rather than get stuck in it, just do something, get the feedback, do something more, get the feedback, do something more. We are not perfect human beings. I don't know of a perfect human being. I've got my hand up. I'm not perfect. And I make a huge amount of mistakes, but in the mistakes I learn, and in that learning, I then am able to course correct, but I've learned something that'll take me closer towards the goal that I'm after.
Mm, yeah, and I think you said it at the start of the conversation about social media and being aware of the outcome that you're going for. I think that's really important. One of the things that fascinates me is there's lots of tools around, technology tools now that I've seen people promoting quite regularly, and they say, well, you know, it'll shut down Facebook. If you turn it on, it won't allow you to get into Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, and you can nominate other sites that you block while you do that. And I think, well, why would you actually need that? I mean, if you don't have the discipline to do it, are you going to have the discipline to turn the tool on or not?
Very good.
Yeah, you know, because that then comes back and speaks to what's the outcome you're going for. You know, what value do you put on your time? What are you trying to achieve with your time? And I wanted to explore something with you. I don't know if you've had a chance to read Michael Hyatt's new book, which is Free to Focus. And his philosophy is around, being more productive is not about getting more done. It's about actually achieving more by doing less. And it's quite a fascinating take on the productivity thing. I mean, his philosophy is not markedly different, or his tactics and tools are not markedly different to David Allen or Stephen Covey's first things first principle, or, you know, the value-based time management stuff. But he, you know, I thought that's a really neat take on it in terms of the purpose is not to be able to do more in the 168 hours you have in the week. The purpose is actually to achieve more and then perhaps even do less. So you've got more time for the things that you don't have time for right now, but that you actually enjoy.
Yeah, that matter. And the example out of New Zealand was a company that said, we are going to take your 40 hours, or in this case 38, that you would normally do over 5 days, and we are going to pay you for 5 days, and we're only going to require you to be on site for 4 days. We'll pay you for five and be here for four. So rather than a five-day week, everyone in the company could choose to have a four-day week. And it wasn't a lot of people go, what's the catch? There was no catch. The opportunity was to do the work that you would normally do in 5 days in four and have a three-day weekend rather than 2 days. And productivity went up. From a four-day week, productivity went up. So what does that say? It says that people will often, it's a thing called Parkinson's Law. Have you heard of Parkinson's Law?
Yeah.
Parkinson's Law is the work will expand to fill the time available for its completion. And in doing so, that I've got all this work and I can do it in 5 days. Well, what if you only had 4 days to do the work? And they found that they were able to do it and therefore give themselves the three-day weekend. And that's exactly the same as what you're saying. How can you do less and still be productive? So we bandy around good old Pareto and the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, that 20% of your results will give 20% of your tasks will give you 80% of the results. So therefore, what are the 20% of the tasks you need to do, and do those early? And I put it in the A's and B's. from prioritization called, if you had 10 tasks today, then what are the things that have to be done today? And if they don't get done, the brown smelly stuff will hit the round twirly thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to swear on this interview. No, I really said, no, Les, don't do that. So I went,
the brown smelly stuff. We do on iTunes. So make sure we're still able to be heard in India or listed.
So exactly. So given that, what are the things you need to do? And they become your A's. Otherwise, the brown smelly stuff hits the round twirly thing. And some of the B's, if they don't get done, they'll turn into A's tomorrow. And that's okay, because do what you need to do today and let the rest go by the wayside. Because we have had situations, all of us, where we get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and go, where did the day go? Because I didn't do the really important thing. Mm. And now I've got to stay back and do the really important thing. How did I end up in this quagmire? I don't understand. So that prioritization gives you an opportunity to do that. And I talk about it from planning, say, the day before. So if you can plan the day before and say, here are the things I need to do tomorrow, as soon as you hit that desk the next day, you've got the opportunity to handle the bees in the morning, and therefore the afternoon you can work on whatever you like, or interruptions or whatever, and you don't get to be at 5 o'clock in the afternoon going, oh, now I need to stay back.
Mm. Yeah, the planning the day before is such a great tip. Right? You know, a lot of people poo-poo it but underestimate how it, because planning out a day and the tasks that are on, particularly if you've got a master plan, is not a high energy activity, and it's something you can easily do at the end of the day when you're tired, but it sets you up for the next day. It's really is very powerful.
And I've got one more for you, and that is, if anyone's taking notes, this is one you need to take a note of, and that is the weekly review that David Allen says. Do the weekly review. Get to the end of your week and do a review of your week. And when I do it with my wife, and we leave the office, leave the house, and we go to a coffee shop, and I will take, or she'll take me through her diary. And Mary will say, here's what I did, and I'll ask her questions on it. And then once she's done her week, we'll go, well, what's coming up next week? And we'll explore that. And then she'll turn to me and say, what happened this week? And we'll go through my diary and look at what happened in the week. And she'll ask questions as to capture anything that might have slipped between the cracks. And then for me, she'll ask me the question, so what are you doing in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month? And that'll go out until to the times that I've made appointments or trainings over time. So it really is a great way of capturing, acknowledging what you've done in the week, capturing anything that may have slipped between the cracks, and then setting yourself up for the next week or the next fortnight to go, hold on a tick, Jürgen, we need to be in Sydney, so therefore we need airfares, we need transfers, and it's overnight, so we need accommodation. Who's going to book that? Those sorts of things. So it really captures them, rather than being on the back end and going, oh, it's tomorrow and we haven't done the catering for that particular event. How did that slip between the cracks? Because it wasn't in the weekly review. So the weekly review, just the simplicity of a weekly review, is something that can transform your productivity.
Mm. Yeah, I love the weekly review. I think is really powerful. I love that you've built in accountability to somebody else in it as well. And the other thing about the weekly review, it's kind of a learning, because it helps you improve your system. Because I think you can, the other thing you can ask is, well, how's my system working?
Definitely. Mm. And it gives me a dashboard. So I incorporate a dashboard into mine, so that I'm able to really give the people in the meeting, in this case my wife, the opportunity to hear from my lips what's happening as far as, well, what income has come in, what are the bank balances, what's been invoiced, what are the outstanding invoices, what proposals have I sent out, what leads I came in this week, what meetings have I booked, meetings that have been held, the public relations I've been doing, trainings I've held, mentoring that I've done, networking events that I've been to. So rather than me being cloistered away in an office and her not knowing, or the team not knowing what's going on, it's a great snapshot of, this is what's happened in the week whilst you weren't with me.
All right. Well, I could go on talking for ages because we haven't touched on a lot of things here around productivity. But in the interests of managing time, we are getting on towards the end of our interview, and I'd like to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience in business and in time management. So I've got a series of five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some insightful answers that will inspire people to go and do something awesome as a result. So you up for that?
Go for it. Yep.
All right. What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
The key with this one is risk. You need to get out of your own comfort zone and risk, do different things. And in the doing, so I've got a model of ES and I, and the E is action. So do different things, and the S is support. So what support? Ask for support. Go to people and go, can I run something by you? Would this work? Would this work in your world? Would this work in the real world? And that takes a risk. It's an opportunity to get outside of your comfort zone and do something different. Don't be complacent. Actually go out and do something risky.
That's great advice. As a lot of people say, you know, get out of your comfort zone, but I love that you've added to that, you know, run it by some other people, get some help and get some feedback. So great.
Indeed.
What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
For me, it's being around others. And when I say others, you do get some people that want to drag you down. I'm talking about the others that believe in you, that want to stretch you, that want to move your business to the stratosphere that you want it to move to. So be around those people that lift you up, those people that put an arm down and go, come on, let's go, let's go. So as far as the best thing that it's being around great minds, it's being around great friends, it's being around a mastermind of people, and I believe you've got a mastermind, Jürgen, being around great people that will lift you up and create in you the opportunity to develop those new ideas and products.
Yep, and it's important, as you said, to make sure it's people that are actually lifting you up and want to see you succeed.
Yep.
All right. So you've mentioned a couple of resources in time management, but what's one of the resources you use most often?
I'll just reiterate the ones that we're talking about. Trello for me works and works a treat. I've put a lot of the goal planning for the business on there, personal planning on there, lead management on there. So Trello, the iPhone in and of itself, or your own smartphone, whatever that might be, that is a great system to use because it's always in your pocket, in your shirt, in your hand. The calendar, so rather than the old system of having a paper-based diary and a paper-based calendar, you can bring that onto your phone now. So the ability to have it on the spot and go, let's do this, let's meet, and put it straight into your phone. The notes app on your phone, of being able to write a note. And I like it because I can be in the car, and for me, it's an iPhone, so I'm saying, Siri, make a note. And it goes, what would you like to say? Make sure I ring Jürgen this afternoon at 5:00. I've put an appointment in there for 5:00 to ring Jürgen. I go, great. Or make a note that I need to look at this website or this podcast. And when I get back to the office, there's 5 or 6 notes ready for me, so that I can then take it into action. And the other one is Remember the Milk. It's a simple app. It's an opportunity to share with people, and whether that's at a corporate level or a personal level.
All right. Great. We'll include links to those in the show notes as well. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
You need to review regularly with accountability and in regards to the actions that come out of the tasks that you're doing. So for me, it's review regularly. It's not a matter of 2 months, 3 months, 4 months down the track. It's weekly to go, are you on track? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? You said you were going to do this. Did you do it? So to keep it on track, have a system whereby you're continually coming back. And for some projects, it's daily. You can do a stand-up meeting in the morning of 3 minutes and go, where are we at? What worked yesterday? What didn't work? What can we do differently? Let's go. So it is a great way of having a review system, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever works for you, but have it regular with some accountability regarding the quality of your actions.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. And it's consistent with your productivity system, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. What's the number one thing any business can do to differentiate themselves or any business owner?
Don't think that being you is bland. Don't think that being you is bland. You are unique. There's only one of you on the planet, and you are unique. And you may, I was working with someone the other day, said, I don't like my face on video. So, yeah, that's you. Everyone else thinks you're fabulous. You're the only one. So out of 1,000 people, you're the one that goes, well, I can't because I'm ugly. It's like, No. You're beautiful. We all see the beauty. So the thing about the differentiation is be you. Just be you. Have the self-confidence to go, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to be me today, and be proud of that. And go forth and do the things you need to do, and you'll find that some great results will come out of it.
Yeah, one of my guests who does speaking coaching told me that 99% of people that watch us on video or watch us on stage don't spend a minute part of a second thinking about how we look or appear. They're just looking at, you know, what value do we add to them right at that point in time. It's only us ourselves that worry more about how do I look on video and what will people think of me.
That's it. Yep. Mm.
All right. Well, this is fabulous, Les. So what's the future for you and for the Get More Time business? Is there another book in the works, and or is there a film in the works like for your wife?
There's more video that I need to do. It's something that I've been – like I recently was on telly with the Today Show, so I had that ability to be interviewed in that regard, and that was great. I'd like to do more of that and more podcasts. I want to do a video series of taking the keys out of the book and really having that ability to take that to the next level in a video series. I want to do that. And, of course, there is a book underway, so book number two. It may not be this year, but it is something that I'm planning on doing. And also international. So if we have international people listening, then I'd be very interested in it's been a while since I've moved offshore and done some training offshore. It's one of the things that I'd really like to head towards this next 12 months.
Mm. All right. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd leave with our audience today for business owners who want to be a leader in innovation and in productivity?
I mentioned it earlier that I have a model of ESI, E for external action, S for support, and the I is what you say to yourself. So for me, productivity is easy. You need to take some action. You need to get some support, either be supportable or ask for the support, and watch what you say to yourself, like that woman who was down on herself, whereas everyone else thought she was wonderful. That's an internal dialogue. So productivity is easy. Take some action, get some support, and actually tell yourself that you can be productive, and those three keys will put you into a framework of getting stuff done.
Wonderful. Thanks, Les. This has been really great. So where can people reach out to find out more and even get in touch to say thank you for what you've shared today?
The website's the easiest, getmoretime.com.au. I'm also on Facebook under Get More Time. It's probably the number two, Get More Time. So you'll find me on either of those. On Instagram, I actually post daily on Instagram at Time Lord Les. That's Time Lord Les, not Time Lordles, Jürgen. It's Time Lord Les. LinkedIn is Time Lord Les. Twitter is at Time Lord Les. And the book is in the store on the website, either as a hard copy or as a PDF. So that's where people can grab me. And it's down the bottom. It's actually bottom on the website, that front page, bottom left hand. There's a button. There's a contact button. And if you contact me there, I will get back to you. In fact, I've got an offer. I've got some tips, 66 tips to being more productive. So if anyone listening want those 66 tips, you just need to hit that contact and go, give me those 66 tips and I'll send those off to you free of charge just for listening.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. Thanks for that, Les. Now, finally, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, golly gee, now I could put my foot in it here and say someone that you've already mentioned, but let's just go with James and Alicia Crook. Do you know James and Alicia?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have you interviewed them?
No, I have not.
Okay, so James and Alicia Crook, massage champions, they took Alicia had her own business and built it up to such a degree that she was then able to sell it, and she had so many people saying, how did you do that, that she has an ability to market her knowledge and put it out to the world. So I really, really recommend that you get in touch with James and Alicia Crook from Massage Champions.
Yeah, well, that's a great suggestion, and I don't know why I haven't come across or why I haven't thought of that before, because I know James and Alicia quite well. In fact, I'm reasonably confident that Alicia is a regular listener. So, Alicia and James, if you're listening, look out for an invitation. All right.
I love it.
So much for sharing your time and insights with us today so generously, Les. I've really enjoyed this. I've kind of been reminded of a lot of the early times when I got involved in some time management and improving my own productivity and some of the transformation that I experienced doing that. And I really loved learning about, you know, the modern take on it, where you're up to right now. And the book is actually really wonderful. So I think I said it at the beginning, I hope that was recorded, but it's a very practical, easy to read collection of suggestions that if people implement everything in there, I'm sure that an hour is probably a little on the conservative side, that you might even get back more than an hour each day. So
wonderful.
All the best for the future, Les, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Jürgen.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and productive conversation with Les, and like me, learned from what he shared with us. There were so many valuable time-saving tips that he shared, as well as the key point of focusing on things that matter to you and being the leader of your own time. I'm curious to find out what you took away from Les's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Les Watson. That is LESWATSON. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Les Watson. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Les there, as well as links to his Get More Time website, his 60 tips offer, which is very generous, so go and check that out, as well as the other resources we spoke about in the conversation. Les suggested we interview Alicia and James Crook of Massage Champions on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Alicia and James, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Les Watson. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, if you're looking for something else to listen to on the podcaster sphere, go check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And tune in, of course, next week again to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Zach Marino and Rockwell Felder of Squadcast and Claudette Rowley of Cultural Brilliance. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group.
all you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.